Today's shiur is Masechta Sota Daf Chaf Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, six lines from the top. As we had learned in the Mishnah on the previous shiur, and had also discussed in the Gemara in the previous shiur, the Mishnah taught us that under certain circumstances, a woman could have a schus, a Sota could have a schus that will postpone the effectiveness of the Mayim Hamorim by up to 3 years. Yes, schus toilish shoshonim. There are certain schusim that could postpone the effective of the Mayim Hamorim for 3 years. Ask the Gemara schus to Mayim. Exactly which schus does have that power? Ilaim schus to Torah. Will we say the schus of a woman's learning Torah has this power? Ask the Gemara. Ha'enim tzuvavaisihi. A woman is not obligated to learn Torah. So, as Mefarshim explained, even as we discussed, and will discuss, a woman does receive schar for learning Torah. Since we know throughout Shas, the rule is gadol mitzvah v'aisa, mish eni mitzvah v'aisa, if somebody is obligated to do a mitzvah, it's more difficult, there's a yetzahara preventing him from doing the mitzvah. So this woman who's not obligated to learn Torah doesn't have that full schar for learning Torah. So how could that Torah give her this schus? Says the Gemara, schus the mitzvah. It must mean the schus of the mitzvahs that she performs. Ask the Gemara, schus the mitzvah, mimagna kulahai, does the performance of a mitzvah have such an effect for Tanya? As Zu Darish Ramanachim Bayoisi. The pasuk says, "Kiner mitzvah v'tayra or." Tola kosev es a mitzvah v'ner. The Torah compares a mitzvah to a candle v'es a Torah, and it compares Torah to or, to light. And as the Mefarshim explained, there are two disadvantages to a candle versus a torch versus light. One is that a candle burns for a lot less time than a torch. Furthermore, a candle doesn't illuminate as much of an area as or. The Torah and the pasuk is saying that a candle mitzvahs are like a ner, and Torah is like or. And the Maral explains this a little deeper. He says, since learning Torah is something that we do with our mind, the Divrei Torah are absorbed into our mind, which is infinite, the power of the human mind, compared to an act of a mitzvah, which is limited to an act, which is limited to us doing something, which by definition is something very finite. Therefore, the Gemara is saying that Torah is like an R compared to mitzvah, which is a ner. Moreover, he says, we know that the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu created when he created the world, v'sa'or, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created light, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognized that the most required element for the world to exist is or, so too is Torah, the most required element for the existence of the world. Continues the Gemara. Man ner, loy melach, to teach us, man ner ena magina el afisha, just like a candle only has the power to illuminate temporarily, af mitzvah ena magina el afisha. Mitzvahs can only protect us temporarily. On the other hand, v'sa Torah ba'ar, the pasuk compares Torah to ar, Laimelach to teach us, Ma or Megan La'olam, light is here forever, Af Torah Megina La'olam, Torah is here forever. Vaymer, and so says the Pasik, Bishalechcha Tancha Isach, when you walk, the Torah will guide you. Bishalechcha Tancha Isach, Zaylam Haza, the Torah guides us in this world. Bishachbecha, when you rest, Tishma Alecha protects you, Zumisa. And when you wake up, it will advocate on your behalf. As the Mefarshim explain, when the time for Tchias HaMeisim comes, those who learn Torah, the Torah will get up and say, these people learn Torah, these people are worthy to come to Tchias HaMeisim. Says the Gemara, this is all to be compared to a Mashal Adam Shayah Mahalach Beishan Laila Bafela. He's walking in the dark. He's concerned from all of these different thorns and pits on the road. He's also concerned from animals and bandits. And furthermore, he really doesn't know where he's going. A light, a torch becomes available to him. However, those he's not concerned about because now he can see where he's going. However, he's still scared of animals and bandits who only go out at night. And also, he still doesn't know exactly where he's walking. However, once the day breaks, he's no longer concerned about the animals and the bandits who don't come out during the day. However, he still doesn't know where he's walking. However, once he gil approaches drachim, he's safe from all of them. That is the power of Torah. And the Mefarshim explain, what is the power of Torah over doing mitzvahs? They explain that Torah is not limited to any time. We could be sitting during Pesach and learning Masechta Sukkah. We could be sitting during Sukkot and learning Masechta Pesachim. Torah is not limited to a specific time. Mitzvahs, however, are obviously limited to certain times. We could only do a mitzvah in the proper time. Sukkot, we do the mitzvah of Sukkot. Pesach, we do the mitzvah of Pesach. That is the maila of Torah over mitzvahs. Therefore, explain the Mefarshim. The Gemara says, Moshe Tikkelan Yisrael, Moshe Benu created a rule, Shisholem Behilchas Achag Bechag, that in every yontif, we should learn the halachas of that yontif. Hilchas Pesach Bepesach, Hilchas Sukkah Besukkah. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu make this rule? So they explain. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that our performance of mitzvahs should rise up to the level of Limud HaTorah. And therefore, by saying, don't just perform the mitzvahs of the Yom Tovim, but also learn the halachas of those mitzvahs, we raise the level of that performance to Limud HaTorah with all of the attendant power of Limud HaTorah. The Gemara Mitzvashem will soon explain what does the Parashas Drachim that the Gemara means in this Marshal mean. But I saw Pshat that what does the Parashas Drachim mean? That the Parashas Drachim here means that a person can sit and learn Torah. But if he doesn't have a Rebbe, if he doesn't have a guide who shows him what the proper path to take is, then his learning is really not that valuable. That's what the Gemara says. He taka learned, and the Torah is like or the Torah is like daylight, but he still needs proshas. Proshas means from the same root as mefarish. He still needs someone to be mefarish to him what he's supposed to do. Says the Gemara, Dover Acher, Aveira Mechabe Mitzvah, an Aveira has the ability to extinguish the reward that one got for a mitzvah. Vein Aveira Mechabe Torah, but Aveira does not have the ability to extinguish what Torah accomplishes. Shenamer, as the Pasuk says, Mayim Rabim LaYuchlo L'Chabes is a Hava. Torah represents a Hava, nothing can extinguish that. And I saw that the Tver Shloim explains. The Pasuk says, Ki malochav yitzav aloch l'shmarcha b'chol drachecha. So he explains, we know that every time a person does a mitzvah, he creates a malach. But as we're learning now in the Gemara, that malach, that mitzvah, can be extinguished through aveira. Says the pasuk, ki malachav, the malach who was created by our performance of a mitzvah, yitzav aloch, l'shmarach b'chol drachecha, protects us, watches us, that we shouldn't violate any aveiras, because he knows that his existence depends on our not doing any aveiras, his won't be destroyed. Although I saw that the Mefarshim say that there is one mitzvah that has the ability to stay, that nothing can extinguish that mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. As the pasuk says, tzedkasoi oimedes lo'ad, someone who gives tzedakah, that remains forever. Mefarshim explain also, what does the Gemara mean when it says that ein aveira mechabe toira? Why does the aveira have the ability to destroy a mitzvah, to extinguish a mitzvah, but not toira? So Mefarshim explain that toira, learning toira, understanding toira, doesn't always come easy. You have to work to understand a piece of Gemara. You have to be able to find the time to explain, to learn Torah. And therefore, since Torah has that quality that it came through hard work, therefore Torah will never be extinguished. Says the Gemara. So now we have a question. If, as we just proved, mitzvah isn't so powerful, so what is the schus that postpones the mayim hamaorim to be effective on the saita? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, mitzvah, bidid asik bo, while somebody is doing the mitzvah, magna umatzla, it protects him from getting any punishment, and it saves him from doing any aveiros. However, bidna the loy asik bo, while he's not actually performing the mitzvah, aguni agna, it's still protects him from punishment. Atzuli leMatzla, it just doesn't protect him from doing any other averus. Taira, on the other hand, bein beidna da'asuk ba, bein beidna da'loya asuk ba, whether the person is learning Taira currently, or while the person is not learning Taira currently, magna protects him, umatzla, it protects him from punishment, and it protects him from doing further averus. But since it does have mitzvah still does have the power of protecting the person from punishment, now we understand why the mitzvahs that the woman did protects her from the effect of the mayim hamarim. I saw from the Pnei Menachem that says that what kind of Torah has this power, the Rabbi Yosef says, magna umatzla, says the Pnei Menachem, it's referring to Torah that one writes chedusha Torah, or one teaches Torah to others. Since a person brings to that Torah the quality that he's spreading Torah, that Torah has the ability to be magna umatzma. Maskula Rabba asked the Gemara, if the power of Torah is so great, Ela me'ata doig v'achi teufel. Doig, we know, was an advisor of Shlomo Melech, who was an enemy of David HaMelech, and because of him, Noiv Ira Kahanim was destroyed. Achitofel also joined with Avshalom in rebelling against David. But they were great Talmid Chachamim. The question is, Amai lo higin alayu, why didn't the Torah have the power to protect them from doing Averis? Ela Amarava, Torah, bidna the Asik Ba, while somebody's learning Torah, magna or matzla. It protects him from any punishment, it saves him from doing aveiros. Bidna d'loy asik ba, but while the person is not learning Torah, aguni magna, it protects him, but atzulei lematzla, it doesn't have the ability to stop him from doing any aveiros. Mitzvah, on the other hand, bein bidna d'asik ba, bein bidna d'loy asik ba, aguni magna, it always protects him, atzulei lematzla, doesn't stop him from sinning. So Tosfos asks, if according to this explanation, why is mitzvah compared only to a lamp, which is temporary? If regarding protection from punishment, the mitzvah always protects. And if regarding saving from sinning, then it's not even effective temporarily, So what does the Gemara mean that a mitzvah is like a lamp? Also, what's the difference between Torah that we called light and mitzvah if we're now limiting the power of Torah? So the Mefarshim explained that the difference between Torah and mitzvah is that Torah doesn't only help a person in this world, it even helps a person in the next world. The power of mitzvah, if the person wasn't strong in his performance of the mitzvah, is somewhat limited. It's somewhat more limited. Continues the Gemara. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, Loilam Schus Torah. Women do have Schus Torah. But we asked that if women have, how do women have Schus Torah? The comment, as we said at the beginning of Yashir, of our shir, Eina Mitzvah Vaisa, aren't women that not commanded to do the mitzvahs, to learn Torah? Answers the Gemara, Nei Dekudi La Mifkada. Yes, they're not specifically commanded to learn Torah. However, Be'agra, in reward, the Makrin, that they learn, they do homework with their sons. Umasna Benayun, they take their sons to Yeshiva. The Natman L'Gavrayu, Ad Osmei V'drasha, and they wait for the husbands to return from Yeshiva, Miloy Palgim Badayu, won't they divide Schar with us? As Mefarshim explained, the rule was that when people went to war, it wasn't only the soldiers who went out to battle who got a share of the booty, but even the people who remained home got a share. Here too, the women who stay home get a share. And the Megala Mukas explains, this is the pshat in the last Mishnah of Shas. The Mishnah says, "Osu kol tzadik v'tzadik lahanchel shaya lomis." Every tzadik will get a reward 310 worlds. What is the significance of the number 310? So he explains, we know that there are 600 tariag mitzvahs, and there are 7 mitzvahs, the rabbanon, which take us up to a total of 620. If our Gemara is teaching us that our wives share the schar, so if we take 620 and we divide it in two, they get 310 and we get 310. The Yaris Dvash explains as follows. He says, we know that the Gemara says, Barasi lo Yetzahara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin, but he created an antidote to that Yetzahara, Torah. So the question is, men learn Torah, so they have the Torah as the antidote. What will be the antidote for women? That's what the Gemara says. The Agra, the Schar, the way that they take their children to learn, and they wait for their husbands to learn, that gives them the ability, like men do, to fight effectively against the Yetzirah. And in fact, the Rabbeinu Yonah says that a wife, when her husband comes home from work at night and he's tired and he had a hard day by work, it is her obligation to encourage her husband to go to a shir, to go learn. And that's the schar that women have. Also, I saw that the Paiskim say, based on this Gemara, that since women do have the schar for supporting the learning of Torah, say the Paiskim that even though women do not have to actually learn Torah themselves, they do have the mitzvah of donating Sifrei Torah and Sfarim to Shul, and that also fall under the category of what we've been learning, the power of women in supporting Limud HaTorah. So in the mashal that we discussed at the beginning of the shir, we spoke about a precious drachem, a crossroad. What does that mean? Amar Rav Chizda, Zatamut Chacham V'yomim Misa. A Talmud Chacham, until the day of his death, can never be sure of his status. Once the person spent his life learning and following the Torah, and now he leaves the world, he has schar. Another pshat is, as we're going to learn, Ein divrei Torah miskaimim el b'mi shemaimis atzma leh. Torah only succeeds by somebody who's ready to be meisa nefesh for Torah. That Torah helps the person. Rav Nachman Amar refers to somebody as Yerushimayim. And as the Mefarshim explained, it doesn't mean the regular level of Yerushimayim. For that, we know the Mishnah says, Misha Yerosai Kaidemis L'Chachmasai Chachmasai Miskayemis Misha Ein Chachmasai Kaidemis L'Yerosai Ein Taras Miskayemis. Yerushimayim is a prerequisite for success in learning. But that Yerushimayim is just the year of a person getting punishment for doing an Aveira. We're referring here to a higher level of Yerushimayim, the Yiras Haroimimus, the actual fear of what God is. It's referring to Talmud Chacham whose halacha follows the way he paskins. So why is this so powerful? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is Tosfos pshat. A Talmud Chacham who has attained the madrega of the Salkalei Shmatza Aliva de Hilchasa is a Talmud Chacham who obviously is thinking and learning all of the time. A person who's thinking and learning all of the time, that person is the Torah will protect him and save him. Another pshat is that if somebody has attained the madrega, that when he paskins a shaila, his psak is the correct psak, he obviously is a person of a very high madrega, and because he's a person of a very high madrega, that's the proof that his Torah is a successful learning. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara is teaching us what kind of learning should our Torah learning be. And the Gemara is teaching us that our Torah learning should be the type of learning that is, that the goal of the learning is lesuke shmeitza liv de hilchasa, to come out with proper halacha lemaisa. Dava acher, another pshat, aveira mechaba mitzvah, aveira has the power to extinguish a mitzvah, then aveira mechaba Torah, but aveira can't extinguish limra Torah. Am Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, darush Rav Nachman ba Yosef lahai krok esinai. Rav Nachman Yosef explained this pasuk exactly as it was said on Har Sinai. The Malay Dor Shadach Doig Vachitoifel Achi had Doig and Achitoifel learned this pasuk that way. Loi Ratfu Basa David. They would have never chased David. They would have never become David and Melech's enemies. The Ksiv, because they said regarding David, Lei Melechim Azavoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forsaken David and Melech. My Dorosh, how did they come to that resolution? Because they said, the Pasuk says, V'lo yura b'cha ervis davar mishav macharecha. If somebody acts immorally, mishav macharecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns away from him. And they thought that David HaMelech had acted immorally with Bathsheba. However, v'heim eina yoidim, they didn't recognize shaveira mechaba mitzvah, that aveira has the ability to extinguish the power of mitzvah. However, v'ein aveira mechaba Torah, and David HaMelech was somebody who learned. Not only was David somebody who learned, but David was someone who was a sukkah shmeitzah, a leaver of the hilchasa, and therefore his learning wasn't effective. Mefarshim also ask, we're discussing Doig Achitofel, who was such great Talmid Chachamim, who always were learning. Why didn't their Torah protect them? So one pshat I saw is because they spoke Lashon Hara. And the mouth that speaks Lashon Hara, even if that mouth speaks Divrei Torah, that Torah can't be powerful. Another pshat that I saw is that the purpose of their learning was to be arrogant, to show off that they were Talmid Chachamim. And even if we're going to learn further in our parak, that one should learn Torah mishloi lishma, shemitoich shloi lishma, ba lishma, but somebody who learns Torah lekanter or lesiyaher, certainly his Torah will not be effective. The pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Mayim rabim layuchlo lechabes zahava, unaharos lo yishtefua, im yiten ish as koil. Hoin beisoy bahava boys you voice aloy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love is incredible, but boys you voice aloy, sometimes it can't help. Boys you voice aloy, it will be scorned. And in Farshim, the Gemara is here to discuss what is this double redundant wording boys you voice aloy. Amu Ula. What the Gemara is referring to here is like Shimon HaChayezariah, not like the relationship that existed between Shimon and his brother Azariah, who was a wealthy person and supported his brother Shimon, who was a Tana. Like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nasiya, and not like Rabbi Yochanan, who was supported by the Nasi, El Kehil v'Shivna, like the relationship of Hillel v'Shivna. The Chiyaser of Demi Omar, Hillel v'Shivna Achihava. Hillel and Shivna were brothers. Hillel Osik b'Tayra. Hillel was the great Talmud Chacham, and Shivna Ovid Iska, and Shivna was a businessman. And then Hillel became the great Talmud Chacham. We're very poor. We all recall the Gemara and Masechta Yuma that says that Hillel was so poor that he could not afford to pay the entrance fee into the Beis HaMidrash, and he laid in the snow on the roof. Once Hillel's greatness was discovered, L'Saif Amalei, now his brother Shivna comes to tell him, Tadna Arva Liflik, let's divide our, let's make a deal, Yisachar V'Zvulun, I'll support you and I'll get schar for your learning. Yotze Baskov Amra Em Yiten Ishes Kon Beisoy Boiz Yevoizoloi. Since now it was too late and he didn't have the schar, Boiz Yevoizoloi, says the Mashon, not an Oilam Hazah and not an Oilam Haba. And that is the Halach Lemais, the Mepharshim explain that if somebody wants to enter into a Yisachar Zvulun arrangement with someone who's learning, he has to make that arrangement before the person begins to learn. Once the person has already had learned, it's too late to make that arrangement. Furthermore, the Maral explains that one can really never transfer the schus of his learning. The schus of someone's learning remains with him forever. What the Gemara means is, however, someone makes it easier for someone else to learn, he too will get the schar as if he were learning, even though he didn't actually learn like the person who was a Talmid Torah. So we learned in the Mishnah, Omer ben Azai, Chayiv Adam Lamed Bito Torah. The Ben Azai's opinion is that once you teach his children, his daughter's Torah, Rebbe Elazar Mekal Lamed Bito Torah, Lamed Tiflis. However, Rebbe Elazar disagrees, and he says somebody who teaches his daughter's Torah is like teaching her immorality. Ask the Gemara, Tiflis Salkadatach, it's still Divrei Torah. Answers the Gemara, El Eimer Ki'ilo Limda Tiflis. It's like he taught it out. It's certainly not that. Amravua, my time to Belezer. Why is Belezer against teaching women Torah? Tiksiv, because the Pasuk says, Ani Chachma Shechanti Aruma. I am Chachma, Torah is Chachma, but it teaches a person how to be cunning. Once a person learns Torah that he's not supposed to learn, it only teaches him sometimes how to act improperly. But the Gemara talks many times about things that aren't the right thing to do. So the person who's supposed to learn, so that exposure doesn't have a negative effect on him. The person, whoever isn't obligated to learn, it can have a negative effect. Rabbanon, Rabbi Azai, who disagrees, and he says that women should learn Torah. Ani chachma my avdilei. What do they learn from this pasuk? Says the Gemara. Nebai loich Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina. Dam Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina. Ain divrei Torah miskaimin. Divrei Torah could only succeed el b'mi shemamet atzma armaleim. A person who's ready to be naked. He's ready to give up everything for his learning. Shenemar ani chachma shechanti arma. First, he has to be ready to give up everything for his learning. And in fact, the Michtam Eliyahu explains that that's exactly what Klal Yisrael meant when they said Nasa v'Nishma. What they meant was Nishma, Nasa, we're prepared to give up everything for our learning, for Divrei Torah, and that's why they were taka zaycha to be makabel the Torah. On the other hand, Rashi gives another pshat, and he says it means is that it's talking about a person who's prepared to do whatever it takes to succeed in learning. He'll go to any Rebbe, he'll do all types of different things to be able to make sure that he remembers his learning and succeed in his learning. I'm Rabbi Yonason. Torah could only succeed Ella b'mish meis ma'atma k'mishenoi. Someone who acts as if he doesn't exist. Shenemar v'chachma ma'ayin t'matzei. It has to be somebody who's ma'ayin, as if he's nothing. And as the Maral explains, one of the purposes of our learning Torah is that the Torah should guide and mold us into being better people, into being b'nei Torah. So only somebody who's nothing, who really doesn't have his own independent form, can be shaped. But somebody who already has a form cannot be shaped. That's why somebody who's ma'ayin, somebody who doesn't have an independent form, he can be shaped by the divrei Torah that we learn. Yeshua Aymer, we learned in the Mishnah, Yeshua says, Roy to Isha Bekav Vetiflis, Mesor Kabim Apricious. So we explained this already in the previous year. My comma, what is Yeshua saying? Explains the Gemara Hachikama. Right to Isha Bekav Vetiflis Imai. A woman prefer to have less food, but have a husband who's available to her. Even if her husband earns less, Metitious Kabim Apricious, than a husband who has a better income, but is not available to her. Who are you? I mean, the Mishnah continued saying, where Rabbi Shua said, Chasid Shaita. Ask the Gemara, Hei Chidami Chasid Shaita. Exactly what is the case of a Chasid Shaita? Says the Gemara, Kedoyin Tava Itasab an Ara. There's a woman, Rahman Slan, drowning in the river. Vama Lav Aruch Ara, Listakula Bavatsula. It's inappropriate that I should go save her, touch her, and look at her while she's drowning. That is a Chasid Shaita. Taisva says, that a chassid shaita is referring to someone who's wearing tefillin, and there's someone drowning, and he says, I'm going to wait till I take off my tefillin, till I go save that person. That's a chassid shaita. But the Mefarshim explained, the Yaakov explains, certainly our Gemara is not referring to a situation that the person is actually going to drown if the person doesn't save him. That's not a chassid shaita. That's a murderer. Rather, he says, the situation is that there are a number of people there who could jump to save the person who's drowning. And this person takes the attitude, let someone else save that person. I'll be busy with my tefillin. I won't go look at a woman. That is a chassid shaita. Don't wait for someone else. Do it yourself. But I saw that the Michas Elozer, the Sefer Divrei Torah, quotes the Tver Shloima, who says another pshat. He says, the Gemara says, Marav doim l'malach Hashem, if a Rebbe is like a malach, yivakshu Torah mipiu. That's the Rebbe you should learn from. So the question is, if a person's a Rebbe, he's a human being. He's not a malach. What does the Gemara mean? So he explains the difference between a malach and a person is that a malach is called an oimid. He's standing on one madrega. A person is a mahalach. He goes from one madrega to another madrega, he goes to a higher, constantly goes to higher and higher madregas. He said, what does a Rebbe do? A Rebbe who gives up from his time and from his ability to teach Talmidim, it affects his personal growth. Marav doima lamalach. A Rebbe should be like a malach, he should be prepared to be an oimid. Says the Michas Elozer, that's pshat and now Gemara. Sometimes a person sees that the place where he is needs a Rebbe, needs a Magid Shir, needs someone to have a positive influence. And he takes the attitude that I need to take care of myself. I don't need to take care of anyone else. Says the Gemara, such an individual is a Chassid Shaita. The Mishnah spoke about a Rosh Orum. And the Gemara is going to give a number of pshatim on what is a Rosh Ha'orim. And the Mefarshim explained, the Paiskim say, that even though we're going to give different examples of people who act inappropriately, it isn't to the degree that the person is disqualified for being an aid, that he's such a level of a Rosh Ha'orim. He's just a Rosh Ha'orim. Amr Rav Yochanan, so he gives the first explanation. Zamatim Dvarav L'dayin Koyim Shabal Baldin Chaveroi. Somebody who has a disagreement with someone else, and he tells the Dayan his side without the other side being there. So ask the Sefer Ben Yoyada, a Dayan is not allowed to listen to one side without the other side present. So how did this happen? So he explains what happened here was as follows. there was an individual who was in a disagreement with someone else, and he went discussed his situation with a Rav. Then he decided to go to the Taira with the other side, and he said, let's go to that Rav. But he disclosed that he had already spoken to that Rav without the other party there, and the other party was still prepared to accept this Rav as a Dayan. Still, since the Dayan had heard first one side's position, and as Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz explains, first impressions are lasting impressions. So the Dayan's first impression was based on what he heard first with the other party, without the other party being there. That is an appropriate, that's called a Rosh Ha'Aron. Rabbi Avuah Amar, he gives a different explanation. Said, Nois a dinner lani, somebody gives a dinner to a poor person, Lahashloim Meim Zuz. They should have exactly 200 Zuz. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says, Mesechta Babasra. Misheshloim Mesayim Zuz, once somebody has 200 Zuz, he's no longer considered an Oni, and therefore, Loyita Lekat Shechapeya, he's not entitled to take Lekat Shechapeya or Mais Oni. Hoysla Mesayim Chos a dinner, if the person has 200 Zuz, less a dinner. Afil Elef, then you can give him up to 1,000 zuz at one time. Hareza yita. So as the Mefarshim explained, what happened here is like this: that someone has a field from where there's leket shechapeya, and he would like his relatives to be able to get the leket shechapeya. But the halach is you can't limit which aniyim can get the leket shechapeya. So he sees that this poor person is approaching, and he's concerned that this poor person is going to take and the Lekat Shechapeya for himself. So he goes and says, you're missing very little to getting the 200 Zuz. He gives that to him, and now the person loses the right to collect the Lekat Shechapeya, and this person can get the Niyim whom he wants should get it to get it. That is a very inappropriate act of behavior. Rav Avadya Yosef uses this Gemara to explain a somewhat difficult Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Arba Midos, the Nois Net Tzedaka. There are four types of people give Tzedaka. And one of the type of people that he mentioned is Eina Noisin, Veina Roitze Shacherim Yitnu. He himself doesn't give, and he doesn't want that others should give. So he asks, that person is not giving, he's not letting others give, so why is he called Arba Midos, but nice night stalker, and people give stalker. He's not giving any stalker. So he explains that Mishnah is referring to an individual like we're discussing here. That he does give stalker. He gives this small amount of stalker to make that the Ani now is no longer an Ani and will not be able to collect any more stalker. So he gave stalker, but his goal and his intent and his whole method was obviously very inappropriate. I also saw from the Ratvaz an obvious question. If our Gemara is teaching us that once a person reaches a certain level, we can't give him tzedakah, sometimes we see people collecting tzedakah, maybe they already collected past the amount that they're considered impoverished. How could they continue collecting? So he says two answers. One, he says, is that if a person travels from far away to come to a foreign country to collect tzedakah, so he's obviously coming to collect more than the basic needs. And the people who are giving him tzedakah are aware of that. So they're giving it to him as a matana, not necessarily as tzedakah. Another explanation he gives, these halachas are when we're giving a person tzedakah from the kupat tzedakah, from the communal fund. But when we're giving a person tzedakah privately, there we can give a person tzedakah even when he has more than the minimal amount. Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan gives a different explanation for Rosh Ha'Aron. Zah meitzi eitzel limka menchos matim. The halacha is that if a man passes away, his sons inherit him, not his daughters. But in the Ksuba, they typically included a condition that if he passes away and leaves over a limited amount of assets, then the girls, his minor daughters, should collect for their support, and the sons should collect stock up. But the halacha says, Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan, is the assignment, if those sons went and kadim machab in the chasmatim, they sold off those assets, even though those assets really should have been used for the support of the daughters, the halacha is mashamachru machru. What they did is effective. Someone giving Yisoymim this advice is called the Rosh Arum. Abai Amma, Zah Meisi Eitza, somebody gives advice, Limkar Ben Chasim Kershim Gamliel, Takla Kershim Gamliel. The Tanya, the Brisa says, if someone says, Nechasei Loch, someone leaves a will that you should inherit me, however, Vachrech Lefloini, when you pass away, not that your family, your children should inherit these assets, they should go to another individual. The yard I reached the Mach of Achel, and the first individual sold those assets. The Halacha, according to Rebbe, Hashem might be had al kuchas to the Rebbe. The person had no right to sell those assets. He had a right to use those assets, but he had no right to sell those assets. He has a limited ownership in them, according to Rebbe. Rav Shimon Gamliel, however, disagrees, and he says, Ein l'shayni el mashashay rishin. The first one, even though he shouldn't have done it, since while he has them, while he's alive, has a full, it's considered like he has full ownership of those assets, and he has a right to sell them. Someone giving advice to a person to do this is considered a Rosh Arum. And as Rav Yashiv explains, the reason why he's considered a Rosh Arum is because he has no benefit from this advice. It's not that he's going to benefit from this sale. And so giving this advice is just rishus. It's called Rosh Arum. Rav Yosi Bachama Amar Rav Sheshus, who is a Rosh Arum? Zeh Machriya Achayim Kachoysov. Somebody who encouraged others to observe and follow what he does. He's really not such a great person. He has ulterior motives, and this he doesn't act properly, and this is a way for him to cover up his own unacceptable actions. Rav Zreik Amar Rav Huna, who is a Rosh Arum? Zeh Mekel Atzmai Umachmel Achayim. When it comes for himself, he acts leniently. When he comes to tell other people how to act, there he acts stringently. Ulama, and the final pshat is Ula's pshat, Zeh Shekar V'Shana, somebody who learns Chumash and Mishnayis, however, V'lo Shimish Tamid Chachamim, was not Mishamish Tamid Chachamim. And the two pshatim that the Rishonim say in V'lo Shimish Tamid Chachamim. One pshat I saw is that he just learned the Chumash in the Mishnah, but he didn't learn the Gemara. And by learning Gemara, we see the explanation of what the Chumash and the Mishnah means, and sees all the nafkaminas and all the in-depth explanation, which obviously have a very significant bearing on what the halacha is. That's one pshat the Rishonim offer. Another pshat the Rishonim offer is that a person is supposed to have a Rebbe. He's supposed to have Shimish Tamid Chachamim. He's supposed to observe and learn from a Rebbe. Just learning Mishnah, Chumash, without having any hands-on experience, any exposure to a Gadol B'Yisrael, to hear what he says in different situations, and how he acts in situations, is, says the Gemara, unacceptable, is a Rosh Arum.